Chodesh Tov, everyone, today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot on this last day of Tishrei, Tov Shin Pei Gimel, with a special month we've had, is Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, and we're holding at the very, very bottom line on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beit, and we were talking about Rabbi Zeira and how he used to hide out from Rabbi Yehuda because he was afraid that Rabbi Yehuda would cut out his Aliyah plans, and he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Yehuda would hold, so let's start there again, because the boy Lemesek Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to make Aliyah, and Rabbi Yehuda held that kol hole mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael ovar over ba'aseh. If you leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael, then you're going to be over on an Isra'aseh. Why? Obviously an Isra'aseh, meaning midivrei Kabbalah from the Nevi'im. Because at the time of the Galut, it says, Bavela yuvo, Mishama yihiyu ad yom poktiosa, that they're meant to stay there in Bavel until the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them back. And until then, they have to remain there. I've lost you now, and I forgot how to get you back. I hope you can hear me, but I can't see you.
Okay. Yes, we can hear you, Rebbe.
You can.
Rebbe brought them back, or was poked?
Well, the pekida means that there's a sign that it's time to come back. That's true. Actually, it's very interesting that Tosis asks over here, why does this apply? I mean, this was talking about at the time of the original Yetzia Tegolos and Bavel, which of course was for the first Beis HaMikdash, but how did it come to mean even nowadays? He doesn't have much of an answer. He just says that, look, I mean, the idea of the Pasuk, you know, it makes sense, the Begolos Sheni Nami Kopit Kro. But the truth is that that has to do with why, what the meaning would be. I mean, if the idea is that there's specifically meaning to being in Bavel, or it means there's specifically meaning in not making your own Aliyah, this we're going to see in the Gemara as it continues. But in any event, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Bavel Yuv U means that you have to stay there. Shama Yihiyu. Whereas Rabbi Zeira, so how does Rabbi Zeira ignore that pasuk and say he wants to make Aliyah? He says, well, what do you mean? It's so obvious from the context that that pasuk is talking not about the people. It says beferish in the pasuk immediately before these words, Kiko amar Hashem ela amudim v'alayam v'alam mechonot. It's referring to all of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash that were brought to Bavel. And all that it's saying is that these kelim will remain in Bavel until the time that I am going to remember them and see to it that they're brought back. So what does that have to do with me? Whereas Rav Yehuda says, well, we see from another pasuk that it's actually referring to the people as well. That's how most of Rishonim learn Ketiv Krach Mina. Doesn't mean based on another pasuk, but rather based on the other pasuk, we can redefine this pasuk. Because the truth is, Rabbi Yehuda is quoted all over, and he's always quoted from the first pasuk, not from the following pasuk. And that is, Hishbaati etchen benot Yerushalayim, mitzvaot o ba'ayalot ha-sadeh, im ta'iru v'im ta'oreru et ha'ava ad she'techpatz. So that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us swear. What it means exactly, bitzvaot or b'ayalot ha-sadeh, which is a reference to the gazelles in the field. What kind of shvua is that, to make a shvua based on wild animals in the field? I don't know, but the Gemara will explain it in a minute. And that you are not supposed to awaken or turn on the love until it's the right time. So in other words, that teaches us that since going back to Eretz Yisrael is an act of love, you're not supposed to turn on that love until it's an appropriate time for it. But during the time of darkness, the time of Golos, it's inappropriate that you should be a lover and that the world is shorui in darkness without love. That's how I understand it. So because of that, it would mean that you shouldn't come back. Rabbi Zera says that doesn't mean that. That simply means ahu shelo ya'alu Yisrael b'chomba. It means that you, as the entire Klal Yisrael, should not join up together and come back as a single wall of massive impact like a tsunami and take back Eretz Yisrael. That's what it means, but it's not referring, because that is the love that's nizgala in the time of the Geula. And indeed, if it's not the correct time for that, so then it's inappropriate. And that was one of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us accept upon ourselves with a Shvuah, as we'll see, that we accept the Golos, and we don't attempt to force our way out of Golos in any fashion. Not only that, but that the war that we spoke of, which we spoke about during Hoshana Rabbah at great length, that the entire story of creation is really a Darwinian war between Humas Ha'ilam and Yisrael in terms of the Gilui of Tikvot Shamayim, Yichud Hashem, as opposed to the tendency of humanity to believe in nonsense and not to be willing to continue to confront reality, that itself was in a sense, as the Rabbi Nubachia points out in the story of Yaakov and Esau, that itself was something that we had to promise not to pursue physically during the period of the Golas, not to actually bring about an atomic war and to fight the world and so on until it's time. And therefore, that is, says Rabbi Zera, that's no Gea Klal Yisrael. But if I, as an individual person, wants to go, there's no place where it says that it's us. Rav Yehuda says there's another pasuk. It says actually three times, Ishbati Etchem. So Ishbati Achrin Aktiv. There's another pasuk that says the same thing, word for word. Ishbati Etchem Benot Yerushalayim, Bitzfaot or Bayolot Asadeh, Im Ta'iru, Im Ta'oru Et Ahava, Ad Shetachbat. It says it again. And the truth is, it says it three times, almost, because it says another time, Ishbati Etchem Benot Yerushalayim. There it doesn't say, Im Ta'iru, but that's basically the same idea. Why are you doing this? So in other words, three times there's a pasuk, and that certainly covers individuals, Taina's Rav Yehuda, and therefore Rabbi Zera had no right to go. So what does Rabbi Zera say about that? Rabbi Zera says, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina explains, why does it say three times, Ishbati Etchem? Shalosh Shivuot Halalu Lama. So one of them was, as you said, that we shouldn't have Yisrael as a tidal wave of force, like a wall, all coming up to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And one was, Shibi HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yisrael, Sholi Yimredu B'umot Olam, that they should not, even if they're not going to take over Eretz Yisrael, they should not rebel as a group against the Umas Olam. They have to accept their status as secondary to the Umayyads during the period of the Golas, and that's the way that they will learn how to get out of it. And the third one is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Goyim swear, Shelo yishta'abdu b'em Yisrael yoter midai, that they cannot overdo the Shibud of Yisrael, so that basically the period of the Golas is a stalemate, in a sense, in which they are prevented from overdoing it, and Yisrael is prevented from overdoing it. That, by the way, that interrelationship between the various shvuahs is the solution to what many of the Gedolim tainted at the end of the Second World War. So why are we now going up and fighting for Eretz Yisrael? That's the equivalent of being over on the shvuah. And the answer is that obviously the stalemate has ended because the Goyim didn't keep their share of it during the Holocaust. They were insane. So if they're insane, now this is very serious, because these three shvuas create a state of stalemate, which you're supposed to allow the Golas to be maintained until it's time to end. So if the Goyim, obviously, I mean, this doesn't mean that they made a meeting at the UN and decide that shvuah is over, but it means that mitzad the, what we call the Sarei HaUmot in the Shamayim, that there's been a change in the overall pattern of history, in which this is something that has never happened before. So then that means it's over. The stalemate is over. So now we're being called upon to fight. And indeed, that's it. Ira points the word to equilibrium. I prefer stalemate, because the idea is that it isn't that it's really an equilibrium. It's just that we're not going to allow either side to win. It's going to go up and down and so on. But it's not yet time to force a conclusion. So equilibrium could be in anything. A stalemate is more where you're up against each other. No loggerheads means that you're at loggerheads, which we're certainly always at loggerheads, but That would be true even if we're lopping atom bombs on them. We're still at loggerheads until there's no heads left to logger.
Rebbe often speaks about Gula cannot be premature, by Shlomo HaMelech, by many times. Yeah, but yeah, the opposite side, they are forcing, the Goyim are forcing a premature.
Exactly. That's what
how does that work? Does it respond in the same failures or not because it comes from them?
No, that's what I'm telling. I'm trying to explain to you that that's what many of the Gedalim said, that now we're not Mechuyev for the Shavua any longer because it's clearly over. It doesn't mean because they opted out, so we have a right to opt out. It just means that the Hanhaga is over. That's what it really means. And that means the Acha Techbats, that it's really time for us to start responding, which obviously it's Ein Lecha Keitz Begula Mizeh, now that we see the result of all of that. I mean, Eretz Yisrael, Notenet Piryah, and so on. Okay, but anyway, so therefore, says Rabbi Zeira, this is not Negea Mi. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you miss something. Every one of these Shavuos is double, because it says Imta Iru, V'Imta Oreru. Now, Imta Iru is like waking up a lover in the middle of the night. That's a nice first step. But Imta Oreru is to turn on a lover in the middle of the night. So those are two different issues, right? And therefore, you have to understand that each one of these is a separate shvua. So Rabbi Zera says, you're right, but I can explain all six. And they still have nothing to do with me. Me boy later, Rabbi Levi. The Omar Rabbi Levi says, okay, why do we need these six shvuas? Before we talked about why do we need three shvuas? Why do we need these six shvuas? Well, we already said three. And now there's another three. And what is that? Shelo yigalu atakeit. So first of all, whoever knows the Ketz and the Vim and the Chachomim, they're not allowed to tell anybody about the way that they're supposed to be acting. The Zman of Ketz, Shelo Yerachaku et HaKetz, probably the better Lashon is Shelo Yedachaku et HaKetz. Rashi brings both Lashonos, so that they should not, by being over on Averis, be marching the Ketz, or give up on the Ketz, or yidchuku et the Ketz means to push for the Ketz. To push for the Ketz means to be extra mitpalil on the Ketz. This was a phenomenon, by the way, that actually happened and that caused a lot of young deaths. That there was a period among the Hasidim and among the Gedolei Agape. You want to just pass me one of those, please? Thanks. So that they would actually make these big kinosim, and then the Rebbe would daven that the Ketz should come, and so on. And then they would get involved in geopolitics. So this Rebbe would hold that if Russia wins such and such a battle, then that's going to be Makar of the Ketz. The other ones hold that, no, on the contrary, if the Germans win such and such a battle, this was going on like during the 1800s. These people ended up dying young all the time, so they died that it was because of Yedachaku et HaKetz. This is a big question, like how much Rashi says not to overdo the tefillahs. I don't know what exactly is called overdoing tefillah. That's a very interesting concept, you know, because, I mean, we do daven three times a day for the geula and so on, and we always talk about it in our brachas. And so what's called overdoing it? You know, it's obviously not the number of times that's overdoing it, but it's the getter of the tachanunim and being ready yourself and trying to push for the klal, I think, is the real meaning of it. And Shaloya Galu.
How about a good example of that?
Shaloya Galu Hasod Lov De Kochavim. They shouldn't be Megala. What is this Sod? So one possibility is the Sod that we're always referring to is Sod HaIbur. Because since it says, Ki chochmatchem uvinatchem, so do not let the goyim share that, because that's part of the competition, is remaining ahead of them in terms of science. That's one approach. The other is not to be megale seide teira, because again, as the Ketz becomes closer, the underlying understanding of the teira and of Maaseh Bereishis becomes more and more simple and obvious to people. So because of that, there's always this sense that, you know, maybe it's good for us to show the inner workings of the Torah to the Goyim. They should understand and have covered at Torah and so on. Bad news. And therefore, we needed a special Shavua. Don't be tempted. Okay, so therefore, says Rabbi Zera, anyway, as you can see, I have a good explanation for all six Shavuos. None of them pertain to my making Aliyah, and therefore I'm going to make Aliyah. However, I'm not going to bump into Rav Yehuda because I'm certainly not going to take a chance at him saying, listen here, Zera, baby, you is staying here or you're dead. Okay, so I wouldn't dare move. So I don't want to confront him, obviously, on that. Anyway, what is the meaning of making a shvua on based on antelope or gazelles? Or what does that mean? Well, Rav Yehuda, that means that we're going to declare hunting season for Jews. That's what it means. If you can't control yourself, if you can control yourselves and accept this status, then mutav. But if not, I'm warning you, they're going to shoot you down like animals. Now, obviously, the anti-Zionists said that this was the reason for the being hunted down like animals. It was because of the fact that here's this idiot Herzl that's going to start that I la'alot b'choman. So anyway, this, of course, was the major issue in terms of the internal politics at the time. The way these things work out is the only way to decide what should have worked out, obviously. Anyway, now, once we're all tolerating, talking about the Inyan of making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, let's talk about the godless of Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol hadar be'Eretz Yisrael, shorui b'lavon. If someone lives in Eretz Yisrael, that means that he lives in Eretz Yisrael, not that he lives in Eretz Yisrael. He has to live in Eretz Yisrael. They always used to drive me crazy when I would go to Tzfat and I would see these people that they're sitting in the middle of this incredible light. And, you know, I'm like, okay, so it's not to them. It's that they think they're there the same way New Yorkers think they're in Manhattan, God help us. You know, it drives me crazy. And then I realized they don't see the light. They're not really in Tzfat. They're in New York. So that was that's what it means over here also. You can't just be in Eretz Yisrael. You have to be in Eretz Yisrael. But if you're dar b'Eretz Yisrael, so then by definition, you're shori below avay. Shenemar, uval yomar shachin chaliti. Don't the neighbors and people from Eretz Yisrael say every time they have tzaras, you know, it's because Oy LaRosha, Oy LaShcheino, these Jews were punished and God has rejected them. And now anything that happens bad to anyone that lives around there, it's because he's too near to these Jews, you know. Move the Jews into ghettos and stay away from them and then they won't. No, because Ama Yosheva Nasu Avon, and people that are living there are by definition or no longer have any sins after the Churban. Omele Rovel Ravashi. I understood that pasuk to be referring to Sovlei Chalaim Matninan La, the people that are suffering from various illnesses. Anybody that is near them, that those people are all Nesu Avon. But I didn't understand that to be referring to Eretz Yisrael. Omer Avanan, Kol HaKavur Beretz Yisrael, Ki'ilu Kavur, so someone who's buried in Eretz Yisrael has the schutz of kapara. Remember that this has to do really with kfura, because as we learned in the parsha we just learned, where was Adam created from? Was he created from the mokum hamizbeach, or was it created from little bits of peace from all over the planet, so that wherever he would die, he would find himself a home, so to speak, that this would be part of the earth from which he was created. But that means that these two things are interrelated. So you have both koichas. So you're under the mizbeach, so to speak, in the sense of that he has a kiyum from kapora. And his makom kvura is the equivalent of there. So imagine what the schus is, that he is without any kind of chet, because he has complete kapora. Where do we see it? Because the mizbeach, it says mizbach adama, and then it says v'chiper admato amo, so that if you are in Eretz Yisrael, admato, then that's mechaper, like the adama of the mizbeach. Ula, aviragel avisolik l'Eretz Yisrael. So Ula was in a very difficult position, because he used to go to teach in Chutz La'aretz a lot. So he would make many, many trips. And as a matter of fact, that Yerushalmi used to call him Jet Setter Ula. You know, he's always on a flight somewhere. So they didn't approve of that too much. And indeed, he ended up dying in Chutz La'aretz. You know, over there, there's the whole story in the Yerushalmi, the beautiful story that Ula was crying. And And they asked him, why is he crying? And he said, he's crying because he's going to die in Chutz Laaretz. He always wanted to die in Eretz Yisrael. And they promised him, but we'll bring your body to Eretz Yisrael. And he said, it's not the same thing as giving up your beautiful pearl of your neshama into the arms of your mother, or just having some medical aid, hold your head while you die. That's not what I want. So, okay, but anyway, so this is the Bavli's part of that story. And he was noch nafshi b'chutz laretz, and they told Rabbi Elazar that Ula died in Chutz Laaretz. And Rabbi Elazar said, oh my God, Aunt Ula, Ula, your whole life you dreamt of Eretz Yisrael, ala damat me'atamut, that the Pasuk in Amos should apply to you. God help us. So they told him, it's okay, Aaron, no buys. They've already brought his Orin to bury him here in Eretz Yisrael. Amar lehem, ah, big deal. Still not the same. That poor Ula, that he should die in Chutz Laaretz. Disaster. And there's even stories of Rishonim that Mamish came, including the Ramban. Which he writes about himself that he's ready to give up everything. And he did. He Mamish came as an old man. He came to Eretz Yisrael. He was already in his 70s. Because he didn't want to die in Chutz Laaretz. He had absolutely no one here. He had no family here. His entire family left behind. And exactly where he's covered, that's already a big issue. There's like four different places that claim to have the Ramban's Kvura. Ezra Barnea can tell us he's happy to take us to the Mokum Kvura in Haifa. But no, he does not believe that that's...
I'm a Kohen. I ain't going to the...
I see. So he doesn't believe Rabbeinu Bach's take on Ein Kahuna Hayom. Okay, let's see here. Very good.
Who are the neighbors?
Yeah. The neighbors are all Bali Tosfos, all of them, included.
Next to Avdimi Dimin Chaifas?
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't know. I send people in.
Yes.
Descended from Avdimi Dimin Chaifas.
Oh, there you go. It had to be Barnea's neighborhood, I mean, obviously. It includes the Rosh Bishans. I mean, a lot of the most harsh for the Bali Tesos. Anyway, fine. So moving on, there was a guy that he was living in Eretz Yisrael, and his brother died in Chutz Laaretz. And his brother left a Yavama, and she doesn't want to come live in Eretz Yisrael. So he asked the Shagla by Rabbi Hanina, would he have a right to go to Chutz Laaretz to marry her? He'll do Yibum, and he'll stay, and he'll live in Bechozah. So Ma'o Lamechat V'liyapma. So Rabbi Hanina said, your idiotic brother went ahead and married some Goya in Chutz Laaretz, Because by definition, if she's living in Chutz Laaretz, she ain't Jewish. She is a religion that's close to Judaism. It's an analog to Judaism. But she ain't no Jewish girl. And Baruch Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed him and he dropped dead. So now what do you want to do? You want to go and be like him? What, are you crazy? You want to do the same thing. You're the next one in line, buddy. The guns are already aimed at you. I don't think it would be a very good idea. So anyway, certainly he didn't go to be Miyabim. That it's usher to go to any other land to permanently live outside of Bavel. Okay, so Rashi says, why is that? That's because Bavel was a place in which you could actually live as a Jew. But the truth is that this is mevusas on, as the Rambam says, we're going to see later, on the very pusik that Rav Yehuda had used originally to claim that you couldn't go out to Eretz Yisrael, which is that the Sham Yehu, that Bavel or Yuvo, and that's where you have to stay. In which case, it's part of a whole understanding that the Maral explains, that this is Nogei the Medrash, that says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu send Klal Yisrael to Bavel? Because Bavel was the place where we originally developed, where Yaakov, Avram Avinu was in Ur Kastim, and that was where he had the showdown with Nimrod, and all of that is like the same as sending, if your wife is misbehaving, and you send her away, you say, go back to your mother, all right? Stay there till I send for you. So that same thing, this was sort of our mother. And there's something, therefore, about Bavel that brings us closer to the roots from which we came. And it's not just, as Rashi says, because there's a lot of good yeshivas in Bavel, and any place else that you live is not conducive to leading a life of Avedas Hashem. You end up becoming influenced by the goyim that you live with, and you don't see really what it means to be living Bo'ar HaTorah. However, you should know that many Rishonim agree with Rashi, and that the inyan is because of the Riboy HaYeshivas, which of course we find in the Pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Bavel a place that was suitable for Yisrael by sending first the Charash and the Mazger. So he sent all of the Gdelei Hador and the Talmidei Chachamim to be in Bavel, so that it's similar to the idea of Mitzrayim, that Yehuda Shalach Lefanav, what did Yaakov Avinu do when he knew he was moving to Mitzrayim? He sent Yehuda Likvua Lo Beit Talmud, as Rashi says, that there had to be a place there that would be roi for Yisrael to live in, and that they shouldn't be Bein Olmot. That's why it was so important to get Eretz Goshen, which was really a mokum for Yisrael from the time of Sora Imenu had been given to that. It was Mesugal for Yisrael. So anyway, because of that, many of the Achronim used to write that, you know, somebody who lives in Poland, it's as if he lives in Eretz Yisrael, because all the yeshivas are in Poland today. You know, so it's the equivalent of staying in Bavel. Or if the yeshivas were in Lita, so then you have to stay in Russia, where Lita was part of then. And this was like, I remember my grandfather's Hatzal. When anybody would want to go, Barney, I don't know if you remember this, but when anybody would want to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn, so he would say, why do you have to go to Eretz Yisrael? If Bavel Yavov Hashem Yehu, you have such gevaldik and yeshivas over here, you should stay and learn here. This has the same segula of Eretz Yisrael, which is a lotion of many of the achronim, right? It's where we lost connection to the special Am and Nosha in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so the Rambam paskins this, but he paskins this based on the pasuk, and he brings shenem or dechsiv, bavela yuvo, v'sham yuhu. So kach atzur latzeit mi bavel l'shar ha'aratzot. So the Kesef Mishnah learns over there that the Lashar HaAratzot that the Rambam is paskening includes Eretz Yisrael, which many argue on, because this comes immediately after the way that the Rambam brings is the Lashon Gemara. Kishem she'osur latzeis b'Eretz Yisrael l'bavel, it's not mashma that the meaning is kach osur latzeis b'bavel Lashar HaAratzot, meaning even to Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, but that's how the Beis Yosef learns. Rabba v'Rabbi Yosef Damar Tavayo, even to leave Pumbedisa, to go to the town of Beikuvi, which is right near Pumbedisa, is giving up on a place where you can live as a real Ben Yisrael. And there was a guy who did, Ahuda Nafik Pumbedisa to Beikuvi, and Rabbi Yosef put him into Cheren. And there was another guy that left Pumbedisa, and he went ahead, he was one of these high-tech guys who wanted to live in Tallinn. Anyway, so he went to Estonia, and he died there. Shochiv. And Abaya said, well, he didn't have to die. If he wanted to, he could have lived by remaining behind in Pumbedisa. What do you have to go to Estonia for? Rabba v'Rav Yosef de Amri Tarvayu kisherin shebabavel Eretz Yisrael kolatatat kisherin shebashar haratzot bavel kolatatat. So the people who are most roi in Bavel, we'll see what this means, the Eretz Yisrael will absorb them. In what sense absorb? Not clear. Same thing is true of other lands vis-a-vis Bavel. Shebashar haratzot Bavel kolatatat. Again, you see clearly from the context in the Gemara that the shar haratzot does not mean including Eretz Yisrael, obviously. There's the relationship of Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and then there's the relationship of Bavel to shar haratzot. So, you know, the way that the Beis Yosef is learning, the Kesef Mishnah is learning over there, is not exactly what seems to be the lashon of the Gemara at all. Anyway, but when you say kolait, in what sense do you mean kolait? Do you mean in the sense of yuchasim, meaning that someone who has the best yuchas in Bavel is able to marry a woman in Eretz Yisrael? Because an Eretz Yisrael is more chashuv in terms of yuchas, but that's not true, because Omar Mar is just the opposite. Kol haratzot or isa, Eretz Yisrael. There's a big difference between having fine, beautiful, solid, and having dough. Once you have dough, you know what you have? Mush. That's what you have. You know what's in the dough? No. I don't know. Eggies in the dough, sugar in the dough, oil in the dough. God only knows what's in the dough. So the dough, you look at a dough, and all you see is a mush. And that's what we call it, mush. Now, she'enkein, when you have clear-cut individual particles of solet, that's something, you know? And that's the difference. So every place compared to Eretz Yisrael is like a mush in terms of the DNA. You know, what do we have over here? I don't know, a mush. But Eretz Yisrael is like a mush compared to Bonfeld, because remember that Ezra was very careful to make certain that there would be no psulim that would remain in Bonfeld in order that they could rely on marriage there, because the Bezdin was going to be moving to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he made certain that he took all of those psulim with him, where he keep an eye on them and make sure that they don't mix. So anyway, it doesn't make sense to say that the best of Bavel is suitable for Eretz Yisrael, where actually Eretz Yisrael is mushy compared to Bavel. So it must mean leining kvura, that the best of Bavel, Eretz Yisrael, can be kelet them in their death, and they can be buried, the roi to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the best from other countries, they are roi to be buried in Bavel. Omer Rav Yehuda, kol hadar bebavel, ki ilu dar be'Eretz Yisrael. Here's Rav Yehuda again, with his shita. You don't got to go to Eretz Yisrael. You live in Bavel with all those great yeshivas, and that's the same as living with the Ora Chochma, that's Makar of your neshama, like living in Eretz Yisrael. Again, that's the way, as I explained to you, not everybody understands it to be the Nogea, the yeshivas, but it's Nogea, like the Maral explains, it's Nogea, the Medrash, that says that that's our Mokar, and that in reestablishing Beit Imi, so to speak, you can be Mit Taher. But where do we see that? Because we see the Pasuk refers to Bavel as Tzion. Shenamar Hoi Tzion, Himolti Yoshevet Bat Bavel. So we seem to be talking to Bat Bavel and calling it Tzion. See? Om Rabbi, Naktinan, we have a Kabbalah that anybody who's living in Bavel, Lochaz Yechevle de Mashiach. It's as good as eating Seuda Shlishit or Moshe Forman's Seuda Chamishit to be saved from the Chevle Mashiach. So you can just move to Bavel and be protected, which would allow Moshe Forman to come to actually Adav Yomim on Mitzvah Shabbos for a change, and he could protect himself by making trips to Bavel. I don't know. Sort of difficult nowadays. Anyway, so that's a Kabbalah that we have. Tirgam up. That doesn't mean anywhere in Bavel, for heaven's sakes. It means specifically Hutzel. Some don't have the gears of Hutzel de Binyamin, because as Barnea will tell us, Hutzel de Binyamin is a place actually in Binyamin, Hutzel. And they used to call Hutzel, they used to call it the little corner of Shezavta, which is basically a bomb shelter. So they called Hutzel the shelter, where you can be saved from radiation. From Rabbi Elazar, Meitim shebechutz laretz enam chayim. People buried in chutz laretz are not going to be coming back with tchias hameisim, because it says, "V'natati tzvi be'eretz chayim." I, my tzvi, that's the place that I like. Eretz shetzivyoni ba. So over there, be'eretz chayim, there I will bring people back to life. But she'en tzivyoni ba, place that I don't like, says the Shechina, then I don't bring people back to life there. Ein mita chayim. Masiv rababa bar mama, what are you talking about, man? First of all, and the Pasuk in Yeshayahu makes it very clear that there's two madrigas of tchias hameis. One of them is yichyu meitecha. Those are the dead. And then we refer to things that are worse than dead. Nevelati. My corpses, that's not a very nice way of referring to the dead as a corpse. Nivelati yakumun. I mean, what's the difference between the two? So it must be that yichyu meitecha, we're going to call people that are dead in Eretz Yisrael, that is their shayach to chayim. Nivelati yakumun refers to more dead. How can you be more dead than dead? By being buried in chutz laretz. So those are meisim shebechutz laretz. So they'll also get up. But meanwhile, you see that there is a getter of Tchias HaMeisim in both places. So then what would be the meaning of Rebbe Elazar's pasuk that says, V'natati tzvi be'eretz chayim? That's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was kal. He was fast to come like a nesher, and he was a runner like a tzvi, meaning somebody that's going to come and capture the land, like all of a sudden, arriving there with a very quick type of invasion. And that's what it's saying. Maitina alayo malka, the kolo kitavia. I'm going to bring an invasion that is fast like a tzvi. Omar leis, Rebbe Elazar said to him, Rebbe, that's not the right shot. The reality is, like I'm saying, that there is no tiyasa meisim in chutz laretz. I'll show you, I have another pasuk. Mikra acher ani doresh. Take a look at this pasuk also from Yeshayahu. Noten neshama la'am aleha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give back a neshama to the people in Eretz Yisrael. Ruach lohochimba. And people who walk in Eretz Yisrael, they'll be given an additional level of consciousness. But I understand, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal already showed you. It says Nevelati Akumun. No, it says Rebbe Elazar. Nevelati refers to dead fetuses that never had a chance to live. Even they will be brought to life if they're in Eretz Yisrael, but not in Chutz Laretz. Rebbe Abba Bar Mamal, what does he do with this new pasuk of Rebbe Elazar? These are serious challenges. That, he says, is to tell us another wonderful thing about the Madrega of Eretz Yisrael, which Rabbi Abbo pointed out. Afilu shivcha kenani, Eretz Yisrael, you can have the lowest class maid, a kenanit, that's working for you. And she is in Eretz Yisrael, muftach la shibat olam haba. She, even the lowest of the low, is guaranteed a place in olam haba, because it says, la'am aleh, who is the am? Oh, like it says, Shvulachem po im hachamor, am hadomel hachamor, the lowest level of Kananim. And that's exactly what we're talking about over here, Shivcha Kananit. That's the Amaleah. Even the Amaleah gets a soul, a Sidlava. And then it continues, V'ruach lo'ochimba, like we said, a special awareness to people who walk there. That says, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, a famous chazal, kol mahalich arba amot beretz Yisrael, even walking for Amot in Eretz Yisrael. But this means in Eretz Yisrael, remember, it doesn't mean being a tourist and thinking you're in Barcelona, Barcelona. Muftach lo shu ben olam haba. So such a person is guaranteed that he is a ben olam haba. And what about according to Rebbe Elazar? I mean, this is crazy. Is he honestly believe that Sadiqim b'chutz laretz einam chayim? I understand. So he's claiming that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be Zohar to Tzvi HaMeisim. Well, what? That's absurd. The whole thing is crazy. What is he trying to say? Omer Rabbi Lai doesn't mean that they won't come to life. It means that they will have to make their way to Eretz Yisrael before they come back to life. Ayadei Gilgul. So to speak, they're going to have to roll through the ground until they can pop up in Eretz Yisrael. That's the point. What are you saying? Tzadikim should have to go through such pain that they have to make their way back through the earth in order to get there to Yisrael. Gilgul at tzadikim tzarhu. Om Rabbaya, well, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make them special tunnels. I mean, you think that Musk is just practicing with this. Those are all tunnels that are for bringing people back to Eretz Yisrael so that they can pop up in Eretz Yisrael. So Michilat Nasot Lambakarka. And that's very fast, you know? So then if that's the case, how do you explain Yaakov Avinu? Why does Yaakov say, Nisatani Mimitraim Kvartani Bikvuratam, you have to get me out of this country and bring me to Kvura in Eretz Yisrael? Omar Karna, something weird is going on behind the scenes here. Devarim Bego. Why is Yaakov so insistent on this? I mean, if Meitim Shebechutz La'aretz are going to come back to life, what does he care? He's going to make his kids carry him all the way to Eretz Yisrael for what? Lama Yitriach Et Banav? Must be because there's two Girsa'ot here. The Girsa'ot, the Girsa that is basically the Girsa that's Mekubal, is Shelo Kibel Al Atzmo Tzar Mechilot. He didn't want to go into it. I got to go into one of these hypertubes with the Musk. Get out of here. So because of that, he wasn't Mekabel that on himself. And he wanted to come out directly in Eretz Yisrael. Kayotze b'davarata omer. And there's another, the same thing happened with Yosef. Vayash ba Yosef et b'nei Yisrael. Pokod yivkod elu gimeschem. And ha'alitem et atzmotayim. What for? Omer Rabbi Fahina, you're too dvorim bago. Something's funny. Yudea, yeah, Yosef Batsaborsh Tzadik Amura, yeah. They don't call him Yosef Atzadik for nothing. He must have had some of those Ushpizin things, you know, for his sukkah. So he knew he was a Tzadik Gomor. So why would he ask them to be Tereach, to bury him in Eretz Yisrael? Imeitim Shabachutzor Tzchayim, Lami Triach, Etachav, Arbameot Pars. I mean, it's a long trek. It must be. Because again, the two girsaot shemalo yiskele mechilot or shelo kibel al atzmo tsar mechilot. Anyway, a very interesting story is about Rabba. This is a fascinating story. It gives us a little bit of insight into what was going on in Rabba's family. Now, Rabba's family were some pretty tough guys. So, I mean, basically, remember that there were four children of Nachmini. This is Rabba Bar Nachmini, our Rabba, right? So we know one of them was Abaya's father, and he died, and that's why Rabba raised him. So that's like the fourth brother. We don't know much about him, but we know about Rav Hanania, and we know about Rav Hoshaya, and these were brothers of Rabba, and they were all in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabba, meanwhile, was insisting on remaining in Bavel. They didn't like this very much. So they sent him, they finally all got together, and they send him this epistle in which they explain to him he's got to make Aliyah. What the heck is he doing over there in Pumbedisa? Who needs to be in Pumbedisa? And you're all on your own in Pumbedisa. You have nobody to really on your madriga to learn with. You need a Rebbe. You think you're so great. And it was a pretty tough letter. So anyway, they wrote him like this. They wrote him first the Medrash that we just spoke about. Does somebody want to counter the influence of Rabarneo over here? I've got on the same row, right next door, I've got Akivala. He's going to, there we go. Okay. L'chaim, l'chaim. And we've got Gavi, l'chaim, l'chaim. I don't know why nobody else joins in, but we know that Zoom knows. That's what's important, right? Okay, so they wrote him over that whole story. Why do you think Yaakov Avinu wanted to go? And why do you think Yosef wanted to go? And, you know, like, why are you better than them? And Ilfa even sent along a little addition. You know, well, I could tell you a story. There was a guy who was living in Eretz Yisrael, and there was one love in his life. That's all he was ever dreaming about. All I want is this girl. So he was going to go and marry this girl, but she lived outside of Eretz Yisrael. Who became Leireid. Now, when he heard, as opposed to you, when he heard what we just quoted about Yaakov Avinu and about Yosef, and believe me, much tougher position than you're in. This guy is pining away for the only love of his life. And he said he's not going. And he's going to manage to live his life through without her because he is not going to Chutz Laretz, okay? Kivan Sheshoma Kazot, he heard what we told him, Gilgel Batzmo Ad Yom Moso. He never went. And he never had her. So that's number one. Those are serious people, you know? And Afo Pisha Chacham Gadol Ata, we know you're a great man and so on. Ain't Adoma lo made me Atzmo lo made me Rabbo. I mean, you think you can learn on your own everything. You're all on your own. Got nobody to talk to over there. I mean, why don't you come to Eretz Yisrael where there's serious people to learn from? I know what you think. Nobody's good enough for me. That's what you think. You don't have anybody to learn from, right? You'll come to Eretz Yisrael. You're convinced you got nobody to learn from. Ein lecha rab. Wrong, 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 wrong. Yesh lecha rab. You just don't know about the kind of people that we have here since you've left, okay? And I'm talking about Rabbi Yochanan. You can actually be a Talmud by Rabbi Yochanan if you want. And we'll just tell you one thing. If you're going to end up staying over there in that rotten place, so at least be careful of hemorrhoids. That's an amazing Gemara. Don't sit around too much in the easy chairs they got over there. It's bad for hemorrhoids. Sitting has been found to reduce your lifespan, okay? So if you're going to sit there doing nothing with your life, so he's a herbish lo shadvarim, at least three things. Don't sit too much, because sitting too much is bad for hemorrhoids. Don't stand too much, it's bad for your heart. don't walk around too much because that's bad for your eyes. What you should do is one third of the time you could sit, one third of the time you could stand, one third of the time you can walk. By the way, obviously, all of the Mefarshim have their explanations. We're not talking about yeshiva. We're talking about Ramazim to the learning time and the working time and so on. And the Halicha, the making money time. Okay, whatever. But you should know that Kol Yeshiva She'eni Matzmicha, sitting without any support, like sitting on a bench, you'd be better off standing. Better off standing. I thought you said standing is bad for the heart. I mean, you can't say that something bad for the heart is going to be worse than something that's bad for hemorrhoids. I mean, come on. I think the heart's a little bit more important. No, what he meant was that yeshiva she'in basmicha, to sit without any support for your back, you can just as well stand with support, because standing with support is better than sitting without support. And they also added the following, which seems to be just a Devar Halacha, but obviously here too, everybody's mefarish. Why bedafka these gemaras? Okay, so v'chein amru, so they wrote in the same letter, that Yitzchak, they didn't say which Yitzchak, Shimon, they didn't say which Shimon, and Oshaya, they didn't say which Oshaya, all agreed that we have to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to mules. Of course, the remez over here could be the people who are stubborn as mules, but in any event, when it comes to mules, okay, so now there's a big machlokas, and Gavi is ready to pick up his pen, and the big machlokas is whether chayshinan lezera ha'av. When we have to decide what a species is, why do we need to know what a species is? Because you're not allowed to mate different species together, right? So now, if we have a mule, now there's two ways of making a mule, because these are hybrids. You can either have a male horse and a female donkey, or a female horse and a male donkey. So now the question is like this. Are all mules the same? That's the question. So if, in fact, the way to determine a species is through the mother, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, how do we know what impregnated the mother, really? So we look at the mother, you know, okay, so if this mule is born of a donkey, it's a donkey, and you can let it mate with a donkey, a male donkey. So it's a female mule. And if the mother was a horse, you can let it mate with a horse. That's called lo chayshinan lezera ha'av. The father's DNA is not taken into consideration in an animal's, I guess you would call it genealogy, right? Which is what it is, obviously. So the genes do not include the father's genes. Okay. Others learn chayshinan lezera ha'av. Now, if we're chayshinan lezera ha'av, then that means that there's two types of mules. There's the mother horse father mule, or mother horse father mother mule founder horse. So you can't mate those two types of mules with each other either, because they're different types of animals. And we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda paskin in a braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer pir dasha tava. So a female mule that goes into heat, you cannot let her mate with either a full horse or a full donkey. This means, obviously, you don't mate the animal. Elamina. It has to be the same type of mule that she is. So it would have to be a male mule that has the same father-mother configuration that she has, because he holds that we're chayshina lezera'av. And you should know that we paskin like this according to Yitzchak, Shimon, and Oshaya. Who are they? Om Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Yitzchak refers to Reb Yitzchak Nafcha. Shimon refers to Reb Shimon ben Pazi, or some say it refers to Reb Shimon ben Lakish, otherwise known as Rish Lakish. And Oshaya refers to Oshaya Baribi, who was the Gadol Hador. Fine.
See, this is a brother's sending a message to their brother, right? Mm-hmm. So there should be an implication here of what brothershaft is.
There is. There's a lot of discussion about it, but we've got enough trouble trying to finish the daf. Omar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar had another thing to say about Tios HaMesim. An Amoritz does not come back to life. Shenema, metim, bal yichyu, they are dead, never to live again. Tanya me'achi, metim bal yichyu, you might think this means none of the dead live again. No, Talmud lomar, rifa'im bal yakumu. It's the ghosts, rifa'im, those who are completely without any life, denizens of hell. This refers to people who are rifa'im. What are rifa'im? Somebody is makes himself loose and careless about divrei Torah. Such a person, bal yakumu, is not zeicha to live. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Elazar, you know, the way that you talk about Tehillas HaMe'asim, I can tell you something. God is not happy, okay? It's all very nice. You got all of these nice rushes. But I promise you that lo nech lemaraya damarto ruach. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is their master, is not happy with you. Okay? You want me to give you an alternative explanation for the Rifa'im? That means people who Merapetz Malavetz Kechavim. There's somebody who loosens himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he just goes to follow whatever people are doing, you know? So Rabbi Elazar said, but Rebbe, I have another pasuk that says the same thing. Same thing he did before. Mikra achera nidorech. Kital orot talecha ve'eretz rifa'im tapil. So it says over there that you should actually jump and sing. So we're talking about over here, yichyu meitecha. This is what I brought you before. Nevelati yikumun. Hakitzu v'rananu shokhnei afar. Jump and sing, wake up. Kital orot talecha. So what does that mean? Your tal, the dew, is like the dew that actually spreads light, but you will let the ones who are rifa'im, they should drop dead and they should stay dead. That means people who are filled with light, because they're filled with the light of Torah, then the light of Torah brings them back to life. Or Torah mechayel. Because she'enu mishtamish bor Torah, so I'm showing you another pasuk. If you're an Amoritz, you don't care about Torah, it's not going to bring you back to life. So what are you arguing with me? Anyway, Rabbi Elazar saw that he was really making Rabbi Yochanan very upset. And that this was not just, this was personal. So when he saw how upset he was making Rabbi Yochanan, so he went to figure out how he can explain away Rabbi Yochanan's position and still have his psukim. So he said, Rebbe, I have an answer. Matzati lam takana min haTorah. There's a solution. My psukim are absolutely true, but there's a way that all of these people can come back to life. And what is that takana min haTorah? It says in the pasuk, V'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokechem chayim kuchem hayom. You are alive. Oh, and I've been calling them dead, right? And I said, the dead will not come back to life. But if you're Dovuk Takarish Baruch Hu, then you're still alive. So you're not included in that pasuk. Now you got to ask yourself, what do you mean? Veikim b'Hashem Elokecha. How can you be Mizdabek to the Shechina if the Shechina is Eish Ochla? He's like a fire. But what does it mean? It means someone who is Mizdabek to Talmidei Chachamim. Either he marries his daughter to a Talmud Chacham, or he does business with the Talmud Chacham to make sure that he can support the learning of the Talmud Chacham. Or he's Mahanet Aminin Chachomim Min Chassav, or he does things that are mala his connection to Tamir Chachomim. That's the equivalent of being Mitzvadabek to the Shechina. And it says over here that such a person will be considered to be Chaim Kuchem Hayom. So even though he's not Isaac B'Terah, the Terah of the Talmud Chacham is Mechayim, because now in making the Talmud Chacham interdependent with him, he gets that connection to the Terah. Kayotzei Badavar. Atomer, we have another pasuk that talks about to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Li'avat Hashem Elokecha uledav kabo. Now, how in the world is it possible for an Adam li'davik b'shechina? Ela there too means, kol ami sibito l'tamid chacham, v'rose pragmatia l'tamid chachamim, v'ramahane tamid chachamim minechasav, ma'ale alav ha'katuv ki'ilu mizdavik b'shechina. Omar Rav Chiya bar Yosef, the tzaddikim. This is interesting because we use this in the same way that the Gemara uses it in English. When we say, it just popped up out of nowhere. Well, it's the thing, Things keep popping up. That's exactly Atidim Tzadikim Shemavat Svetzim Olim Birushalayim. I'm going to find these Tzadikim popping up out of nowhere. Because these were all the Tzadikim that come back to life. Wherever they were buried, they pop up in Yerushalayim. Shenemer Vayatzitzo, they will pop up, Meir, Ke'esev Haaretz, sprouts out of nowhere. And when it says ear, it refers to Yerushalayim, because we find in the pasuk Ganoti ala ear hazot, and this of course is referring to Chizkiyahu and Sanherib. So ear hazot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to. V'yom Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, atidim tzadikim she'amdu b'malbusheihem. The tzadikim are going to be coming, popping up in the same incredible kind of clothing, meaning the same incredible type of life that they had in Olam Hazeh, in which they had defined things for themselves and their midas. Midas are always called Levushim. Their Chochma, which is called Levushim, they will be wearing the same clothes they were buried in. It's not that they're going to be a tabla rasa to start life again. They start way ahead. And I'll bring you a raya from a kavachomer. Kavachomer from a grain of wheat, okay? You take a grain of wheat, you bury it in the ground, and it doesn't have anything on it. That's Nikbara Aruma. You know what? It comes out. Oh my gosh, it's dressed in the most amazing. What comes out is beautiful sprout and surrounded by protection and by the hairs around the grain and the beautiful straw. It's amazing. So tzadikim shenikbaru b'levushayim. Alachad kama v'kama. V'yom Reb Chiya bar Yosef. You should know that Eretz Yisrael is ultimately going to be producing delicious cakes and the best kind of breads and the finest clothes that they'll grow on trees. Shenema yehi pisat bar ba'aretz. Pisat can be basically both of those in yonim, because pisat, Rashi says, is kepas hayad. A chita never spreads out like a pas hayad. So it's got to be referring to what's baked out of chita, cake or bread. And pas also means ketonet pasim. So anyways, it's a remez that this will grow directly. Tana Rabbanan, we find the same lashon as yehi pisat bar. There should be wild pisot in Eretz Yisrael on the top of the mountain. So what does that mean? It means like even one chita that you plant, a single stalk of wheat will grow to the height of a palm tree that gets to the top of the mountaintop. Now, you might think, oh, man, you know, we're never going to be able to get that harvested. Who's got a tractor that can cut through palm trees like that? So Shema Tomar, maybe you'll say, so then, you know, what's the point? I mean, I'm not going to be able to harvest it. Yish tzar lekotzra. That's why it says, Yir Ash Kalavanon Piryo, that the pre, whatever it produces, is going to move and make sounds like the Levanon. What does that mean? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring a wind out of his Beit Gin Hazav, and he'll cause the top of that mountain to be shaken up, and then all of the fine flour will fall from the top of the wheat stalk. Already, Adam Yotze LaSadeh, a guy goes out to the field, he finds this lying all over, collects one handful of this, that's enough to feed him and his entire household, and he doesn't need anything else. And we find this in the bracha. Im chelev kilyot chita, these were the zot ha-bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does that mean, chelev? It means one kernel of wheat will be as great as two kidneys of a giant ox. And you'll say, ah, come on, stop exaggerating. No, not exaggerating. We have around us a fox that once made a little den inside of a turnip, gave birth in the turnip, and then after it left, we weighed what was left of the turnip, and it weighed shishim litrum b'litra shel tzipori, which is about 60 pounds after it had been dug out by the fox. So therefore, there's nothing so crazy about that. And of course, as you know, I'm going to send you a picture to the daf. And you can see what the pumpkins are like. Bimos HaMashiach. Here we go. Take a look at your daf. Guess how much that pumpkin weighs, gentlemen. Guess how much? 2,500 pounds. A pumpkin. What do you say to that? So anyway, that's just the beginning. Imagine if you want a serious turnip, how long do you think that pumpkin would last for Parnasato and Parnasat and Shebeto? 2,500 pounds.
It's for Dila'atant.
Not bad, huh? Pretty incredible. Anyways, it's so much. We think this is crazy. It's not so crazy as it seems. Oh my gosh. That weighs more than a car. Incredible. All right. Omar Rabbi Yossi, there was once a Maisa in Shechin where a guy's father was Nifter, and all that he left him was a plant that had three stalks of a mustard plant, which is basically a wild plant. You know, that's all that he left. Now, one of them was ripped off of the plant. Anyway, so they decided they're going to, they'll open up that one. Inside, they found 9 kav of mustard seed. That's like, you know, a 10-gallon container of mustard seed. And they used the wood from that one broken branch to make over a sukkat yotzrim. And Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Tachlifa, I could tell you, my father left us 1 cabbage. Okay, so 1 stalk of cabbage. Okay, we used to climb up and down that cabbage on a ladder in order to get the leaves from the top of the cabbage, right? So we would climb. It's exactly like the pumpkin in the picture. So we used to climb up and down. And then we find other things. V'dame nav tishtechame. You'll drink the blood of a grape as if it's the most marvelous wine. Amru lo kolam hazeh olam haba. Kolam hazeh yesh bo tzar liftzor. You know the way things are nowadays? Oh, God. You want wine? You got to pick the grapes, and then you got to step all over the grapes. And, you know, that's not... But when it comes to olam haba, you take 1 grape, okay? You put wheels under the grape with a little motor behind it. You stick in a faucet into the grape. You turn on the faucet and you leave it in the corner, you know, put it in the basement somewhere. And then anytime you want to drink, you just misapik emener ketipa sagado. It would be like a giant keg of beer. And then there'll be enough wood from that 1 grape that you didn't have a chance to pull off. Got enough fuel there to keep for your stove. And the smallest grape would be the equivalent of 30 barrels of wine. Rashi says 30 saw of wine, but even 30 saw of wine is not bad, you know. Okay. And where do we see this? Because it says chomer. Shenemer v'dam enav tishte chomer. Al tikre chomer el a chomer. A chomer is 30 saw. So you see that the wine will be 30 saw of wine per single grape. Ki yata Ravdimi. Ravdimi came from Eretz Israel. He said, what do you think the meaning is? Osri legefen iro. Tie your donkey to a vine. That means, in gefen, the gefen of Eretz Yisrael, she'eno tzarich ayir achad liftzor. You're going to need an entire donkey for 1 single grapevine. Or others have the girsa ir achad, lashon nekeva, that you don't need an entire city's. It takes a city to harvest a grape in Eretz Yisrael. That would be the other pshat. But I mean, to tie into the posik of Osu Legefen Iro, it makes more sense to say, we're talking about specifically an ayir. Vila soreka b'ni atono, tied to the branch, the child of the donkey. This means emachakal ilan srak, soreka srak. Srak doesn't means it doesn't produce edible fruit. Ah, that's nowadays. But you won't find a single non-edible tree that doesn't produce delicious fruit that at least fill up shtei atonot. Now, maybe you'll say, you know, you're talking about wine coming straight out of the grape. It's not very good wine, you know. Anyway, you're talking about grape juice, you know. Shema Tamar ain't bo yayin. Maybe you'll say they don't have any wine. Tamalomer kibes ba yayin levusho. Even these lousy fruits, you can actually launder your clothes. Shema Tomar, yeah, okay, there must be that it's white wine, you know, that's not as good as red wine. So Shema Tomar, Eno Adom, no, it says, V'dam anavim tishtechama, it means blood, blood is red, it's obviously referring to blood. So you'll say, yeah, but it's low alcohol content, you know. Eno Miraveh, I mean, it's not wine, I mean, what do you want, fancy grape juice? No, Talmud Lomar Suto, Suto means hasata. Hasata means turns you on. It's going to turn you on that it's got to have alcohol, let me tell you. Shema Tomar Imbo Tam. All right, fine. It's got the right color. It's got the right alcohol content. But I mean, how much taste could it have coming straight out of the spigot in the grape? So you'll say it doesn't have any taste. Tamalomer Chachlili Einayimiyayin. Chachlili means a chach, a palate that tastes it, immediately says, Lee, I want. So Chachlili, so you see it tastes delicious. Shema Tomar, okay, you know, it tastes delicious to people with an immature palate. So you're talking about kids, you know, they like any of these cheapo wines, you know, as long as it's got a nice alcohol buzz to it, that's okay. But to a mature person with the Kenim, they have a mature palate. Eno Yafet, no. Ula Ven Shinayim Mechalav. That's not Ben Shinaim, that's Ben Shanim. Even if he's very old, it'll taste, wow, never had wine like this. Beautiful. Okay, all of this is a great drusha, but I mean, what does the Pasuk mean? It's like, what is the Pashtus of this Pasuk referring to? Pashtay the Krah, the Makati, the author of Dimi Omar. This is the brochas that Moshe Rabbeinu has given. These are the words of Knesset Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch. Ribono shel olam, ramoz beinayich debosim mechamra. Just wink at me with your eyes, and that's sweeter than wine. The shinayich, ach vele shinayich, smile at me so that I can see your teeth, kaviyachal. The bosim mechaba, that's sweeter than the sweetest milk. That lashon is a raya, Rabini, to the way Rabbi Yochanan darshans. Remember, we're back in Brochas. Tov ha-malbin shinayim l'chaveiro. Somebody who shows the white of his teeth means he smiles to a friend. Yoter mimashkeo chalav. That's worth more. You go over to somebody, you know, and he's an oni. You bring him a cup of milk. You feel, you know, you're really great. Let me tell you something. If you would have given him a smile, it made him feel the world is a place that's worth living in. Would have been a hell of a lot better than giving him a cup of milk without a smile. Shenemar ulaven shinayim michalav. Atikre leven shinayim. Libun shinayim. Show him the white of your teeth. It's worth more than a cup of milk. Rafia bar Ada. Rafia bar Ada was the personal tutor of Rish Lakish's children. And for 3 days, he didn't show up to give his lessons. So he finally comes, Rish Lakish says, where the heck have you been? Amai Ifrata, what's going on over here? You got a job, man. Omar Leh, listen, you know, I mean, I have my whole Parnassa from what my father left me. My father left me one vine, you know, so I had to work on that one vine. So the first day that I worked on it, I picked 300 clusters of grapes. And each one produced a whole barrel of wine, all right? So that put me ahead. Now, the next day, I also got 300 clusters, but I don't know. Something happened, and I needed 2 clusters per barrel. The third day, I still got 300 clusters, but I needed 3 clusters per barrel. I figured, forget about it. The rest of it ain't worth anything. I gave the rest of it away. So I got my first couple of million for the year. Now I'm set up. I can come back and teach your kids. Says Rish Lakish. You wonder why every day it was producing less and less. Well, the first day that you missed being at your job with my kids, you were able to get 1 barrel per grape, you know. The second day, you needed 2. The third day, you need 3. You don't get the message, buddy, do you? So I can tell you something. You ain't impressing me with this story. He loved the fagart if you hadn't missed on your job. You would have produced a lot more than that, and you could have had other people doing the work instead of you yourself having the work, for heaven's sakes. And that Zocha Malach Tonas is Haydei Acherim. But no, you had to go yourself and miss your job. Okay, so you're at a few million. You know, what can I do for people like you?